The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
Rolene Marks, good morning. How are you?
Well, good morning to you too, Howard Feldman.
So, terrible news last night. I got this update, this breaking news about this bus that had lost control in the street of Jerusalem. What was the story there?
Just absolutely horrific. So yesterday was a particularly difficult day in Israel. A lot of carnage on our roads, several accidents that claimed the lives of now about 9 people, but Jerusalem particularly brutal. An Eged bus claiming brake failure plowed into the crowd, killing a pregnant mother and her 2 children. Absolutely horrific. I mean, just 2 days before that, another Eged bus had swerved into pedestrians and crashed into a construction site on Yirmiyahu Street, which was just around the corner where last night's horrific accident happened, killing a 70-year-old man and injuring another pedestrian. Now, last night, United Hatzalah dispatched their psychotrauma units to help deal with the trauma of onlookers. Police, paramedics, firefighters rushed to the scene. This was in the Romema neighborhood of Jerusalem, a religious neighborhood, just absolutely shattering. A 30-year-old pregnant mommy, a 3-year-old girl, and a 7-year-old girl. There were others trapped under the bus. Some were evacuated to nearby hospitals in serious condition. Just absolutely horrific. And just to reiterate, it wasn't a terror attack. It was reported to be brake failure and problems with the bus, and of course this will be investigated.
And I thought that was very interesting, because as the news broke, it was made very, very clear from the get-go that this was not a terror incident. There wasn't even a moment, it would seem, obviously whilst it was happening, nobody really knows as it's happening, but within minutes it was made very clear that this was not terror. And I think that was obviously quite important, given that the Israelis at the moment must be very, very anxious following the last week.
Well, we are in a little bit of a state of heightened, I don't know if I'd call it anxiety, because a couple of days has passed now, but you know, there's always this back thought that a very fragile, a very delicate peace fire could break, or we could see more acts of terror carried out by Palestinian Islamic Jihad, one of the propagators of terror attacks in the country over recent decades, especially following last week's Operation Breaking Dawn. I mean, last week you and I were having a conversation that our southern communities were in fact locked down. There was a tense calm across the country. You know, we were expecting some kind of reprisal or some kind of attack to come from Palestinian Islamic Jihad. That was proven to be the case over the weekend. The IDF striking preemptively last weekend by taking out the top echelon of Palestinian Islamic Jihad. But Israel, about 1.5 million of us, faced over 1,000 rockets that rained on our cities. And, you know, you don't get used to this. You know, we like to say, oh, here we go again. Here come the sirens, here come the rockets. But there is a real anxiety that we experience when this happens.
For very good reason. It's now been a week. It was exactly a week ago today that this operation started. Let's now, with the privilege of distance, maybe, and not that 7 days is a tremendous amount of time, but within the world that we live in, as time circles and time cycles, news cycles go a lot faster. Let's take a look at that event, with the privilege of 7 days having passed since it started.
Okay, so let's break it down. How did this start? Mm-hmm. Last week, the counter-terror commandos conducted raids in Jenin. They arrested the head of Palestinian Islamic Jihad, Bassem al-Saadi. Now, Palestinian Islamic Jihad are a terror organization. They are proscribed by countries like Australia, the United Kingdom, the United States, Canada, New Zealand, Japan, the EU, and various others. They are recognized as a terror entity. And the IDF and the security establishment got it on good authority and our always outstanding intelligence that Palestinian Islamic Jihad were planning to either carry out a terror acts against Israelis or strike our citizens on the border with Gaza. So preemptively this time the IDF took the fight to Gaza instead of waiting to react to incoming rockets and missiles. Now just before we carry on, I just want to acknowledge the extraordinary work done by the Prime Minister's Office, the Foreign Ministry, the IDF, the Israeli security agencies, which is basically our Mossad, our Shabak, the police, the firefighters, the emergency personnel, everybody who was involved in this whole operation. I do see a significant change in strategy from Israel's side with regards to this last operation. We even had Benjamin Netanyahu break his year-long embargo of wanting to receive security updates. He actually sat with the Prime Minister last week and took a security update, which is something he hasn't done or he has refused to do in the last year. But we struck at the head of Palestinian Islamic Jihad. Quite extraordinary to see the IDF release immediate footage. I think it's an image that many of us are familiar with now, an apartment building standing perfectly intact except for one apartment, which was that targeted assassination of Mansour. He is one of the top commandos. By the end of the weekend, the IDF had taken out tunnels, had taken out weapon storage facilities, had taken out rocket launchers, and had taken out the top echelon of Palestinian Islamic Jihad. However, they also managed to get in their firing of rockets. On Saturday, rockets fired as far here as Modi'in. Got the fright of my life when our siren went, because you're prepared, but you're not prepared. We did hear an explosion reported outside the city. Something did fall, leaving a crater. Rockets fired towards Tel Aviv, Rishon on Tisha B'Av, rockets fired towards Jerusalem, and then Be'er Sheva. And of course, our southern communities taking the brunt of these rocket attacks. Thank goodness we managed to ensure calm on the Temple Mount for Tisha B'Av. There were concerns that we could see violence erupting there. And while all this was happening, the IDF and their counter-terror units still carrying out raids and arrests in the West Bank as well. However, we do have to note that out of the 27 civilians that were killed in the Gaza Strip, at least 16 of them, mostly children, killed when Palestinian Islamic Jihad rockets either misfired or landed short. And of course, a camera crew nearly killed as a result of a misfiring rocket.
The sense that I got, and perhaps I'm being a little bit naive, I'd love your thoughts on it, is the immediate reaction from the United States was one of support. When I look back at that, that makes me think that the United States were very, very clearly briefed on what was going to happen and why it was going to happen. Because there wasn't that time that there normally is that where they call for restraint, say, well, let's understand what's going on here. There wasn't any of that. We saw an immediate response, an immediate support by a number of countries. And add to that, We even saw Hamas, although saying using their same type of rhetoric, we saw an incredible amount of restraint from Hamas themselves, which makes me think that both Hamas, as well as Israel's allies in the West, were aware of what was happening, why it was happening, and were told that this is going to be contained. They need to, explain why they need to respect it. What's your thoughts around that?
Well, definitely. I think Israel has learned from past missions. By no means are we thinking that Hamas is going to break out in a resounding chorus of Kumbaya anytime soon. We made it very clear that the intelligence that we had was regarding Palestinian Islamic Jihad, and that we will be striking Palestinian Islamic Jihad. And people have said to me over the week, does this mean that Hamas is softening? Absolutely not. There were concerns that if they did get involved in the fray, we would have to expand our operation. And there are concerns that even though they set this one out, they could be waiting for bigger opportunities. So that's the concern from Israel's side. So to people who did message me saying, does this mean that Hamas are softening? Absolutely not. No. However, Israel has played the carrot and the stick strategy with Hamas, saying, you know, if you are going to get involved, we're going to have to crack down on some of the concessions that we have given. Yet just yesterday, another 20,000 work permits allocated to Palestinians in Gaza to come and work in Israel to improve the situation on the ground. Also, more humanitarian aid is being let in. And, you know, we have to also note Palestinian Islamic Jihad refused a humanitarian ceasefire on Friday. But I think you're definitely right. We did see an immediate, well-coordinated reaction from the United States, with the exception, of course, of somebody like Corrie Bush this morning, who's still going on, that Palestinian children were killed by Israel. She obviously has some kind of information failure within her office, I'm just saying.
Well, we don't say, we'll talk about South Africa in a moment, but you just continue your thought process.
But definitely, definitely well briefed. We also saw for the first time Israel get ahead of the narrative very, very quickly on the misfiring of the rocket that killed 6 children in Jabalia. With immediate effect, Israel released the footage, Israel released statements, and Israel has investigated and released their findings. Now, of course, you get those that, you know, the truth hurts and they shouldn't be confused with facts and don't want to hear about it. But this is somewhere where we have seen a difference. And I put it down to an extremely tight coordination, an extremely well-briefed, excellent teamwork coming from the absolute upper echelons of the military. We saw them working all together, well coordinated. Maybe that hasn't been done so effectively in the past, but it has happened now. And what's going to be interesting is, are we going to see the work done by, you know, caretaker Prime Minister Lapid translate to votes in November? That's going to be interesting.
Yeah, it is going to be fascinating. Would you say that this operation can be considered a success?
I think from Israel's perspective, a modest success. The ceasefire that's in place is still very delicate and could break at any time.
Is that the reason it's modest? Is because the ceasefire itself is very tenuous?
Well, that's that. That's a fair assumption, because yesterday we did have the head of Palestinian Islamic Jihad threatened that if he's not released, they will resume fighting. Palestinian Islamic Jihad last week acted without Hamas. And that's also a worry, because it shows Hamas losing control of terror entities in the strip, which they are in fact responsible for. But we say modest because we know what's at stake. But I think in terms of public diplomacy, a much bigger win than what we've had in the past.
Has there been any response by Israel to the absurd criticism of the government, by the government of South Africa, or does Israel simply not care?
Well, to be very honest and to be very frank, apart from maybe making the Jerusalem Post, South Africa has demonstrated that it has become more and more irrelevant. We even had a BRICS member of the BRICS coalition coming out in support of Israel at the United Nations last week. We've had an enormous show of international support for Israel's right to defend herself. And because South Africa has sided with Iran and has sided with Russia, because Russia was the only other country to formally excoriate Israel, unfortunately, South Africa is seen as aligning itself with the pariah states of the world, which is quite ironic, seeing that South Africa is seeking to make Israel into a pariah, but effectively has made itself into a gigantic pariah.
It really has. And I hope that we will be having that conversation a little bit later, around about 8:30, in fact, with Clayson Moniela, who is a spokesperson for DIRCO. Does the South African government actually understand the Israel-Palestinian conflict? Well, we're going to ask them that question. Roland Marks, thank you as always. Thanks for bringing us that perspective, which I think is incredibly important that we get following a little bit of a period of distance from the operation itself. Wishing you a Shabbat Shalom, and we'll catch you next week.